praise the Lord. The Lord bless each and every one this evening. We do give you all a very warm welcome to our service tonight, and I won't try and hold you too long this evening. It's a very wonderful evening as far as temperature goes. It's a beautiful evening, and I appreciate those who took the time to tune in to hear the Word of God tonight. I want to just share briefly about miracles, signs, and wonders this evening, and how that through the dark ages it all disappeared, more or less. But God, in the turn of the century, or the 20th century, that's the end of the year 1900, that's known as the turn of the century, the 20th century, God began to move in a very special way. And just briefly tonight, I'm going to look at it and show you some scriptures, because I believe Jesus Christ is still the same today. Let us read from the book of Acts. Let me read from verse 14 down of Acts chapter 2. And I do greet you all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and those that's tuned in from afar, may the Lord bless you. And those that's tuned in from local, may the Lord bless you. And share the messages if you want to do it. Share them. The Word of God, we know, will not return void. And God will watch over His own precious Word. Acts 2 verse 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words, for these are not drunken as ye suppose, saying it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, that's Joel 2, 28, he's quoting, And it shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heaven above. Now we have saw the eclipse of the moon just a few days ago, and here in verse 19, And I will show wonders in the heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor and smoke. Then the sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before the great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ye men of Jerusalem, hear these words. This is my key verse tonight. Hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you all, as ye yourselves also know. Let us bow this evening while we ask for the Lord's blessing tonight. Father in heaven, we thank you and praise you that we can gather together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We bless you for your own precious word and your truth. We pray that you'll touch your people this evening in Jesus' precious name. Father, I do pray especially for your wee evangelist, John Weir, as he preaches tonight over in the hills of Dromara and over these coming nights. Lord, I pray you'll bless our brother John. Save souls in Jesus Christ's name. Bless us here tonight as I take the Holy Spirit to help me in Jesus' name. And I thank you that you do. In the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. God bless you all. Don't forget to pray for our brother John Weir. He's a great wee evangelist. Some in our own families were saved the last time he did the mission over by Dromara. And we thank the Lord for that. And he's starting tonight a campaign drive-in service in a big field at 8 o'clock tonight. Go along if you're free. And those that can, please pray for our brother, that God will use him and bless him, and that people will get saved. That's what it's all about. we know that's the greatest miracle of all, is the salvation of souls. The supernatural power of God that confirmed the ministry of the first century believers is another quality of the early Christianity that was obliterated during the Dark Ages. During the Dark Ages, a lot of truths were lost, a lot of things were obliterated, and the supernatural power of God was one of them things. It was very rare to see it, except for rare cases. God's miracle power did not regain its rightful place until the gospel ministry, until the turn of the 20th century. And that's when it again began to regain its real power again. Now, I use of you that know history, here's a book I'm going to show you. It's about the Azusa Street Revival. And we know in 1906, William Seymour in America was a man that God used when God began to move at the turn of the century. People talk about the 20th century, that's 1900. That's from 99 to 1900. Is the turn of the century when God began to move in a very special way. But I want you to read you a little excerpt from this book, The Azusa Street Revival, The Holy Spirit in America, over 100 years. Now, in 1895, when he was 25, so it was 1895, just before the 1900, 5 years before it, William Seymour was 25 years old. Seymour moved to Indianapolis and worked as a writer in a fashionable restaurant, but in 1900, that's the turn of the century, he moved to Cincinnati and discovered holiness teaching through the Church of God, Anderson, Indiana, known then as the Evening Light Saints. They taught that a second work of grace called sanctification would, you know, more or less obliterate the inbred sin in a person's life, in a believer's life, a doctrine preached by John Wesley in the 18th century. Seymour embraced this teaching and moved to Houston in 1903. There he began attending a black holiness church pastored by Lucy Farrow, the niece of the famous abolitionist Frederick Douglass. So, now here's a bit I want you to get this evening. I want you to hear this statement tonight. Such a hunger to have more of God was in the heart of Seymour. Seymour later said this, that I prayed for 5 hours a day. People say God's not moving today. Well, try praying 5 hours a day and see what's happened. He was so hungry, he prayed 5 hours a day for 2.5 years. 5 hours a day he prayed for 2.5 years. Those prayers would soon show great effect. And Seymour prayed 5.5 hours a day for 3.5 years. I knew a fellow when I was about 16. He left his work to train at martial arts. And I used to train with him. And he trained for 5 hours a day. I knew him well. I trained with him. But this man didn't train at martial arts or anything physically, but he prayed for 2.5 years for 5 hours a day for God to move. And you know, if you know anything at all about church history, read about the Azusa Street Revival. If you claim you're a Pentecostal at all, you should know of the history of Azusa Street, where the Spirit of God moved in 1906. Also, a man that people don't know about is a man here, and this man here was a Gentecana, but he came from the hills of Antrim over here. His name is James McCone. And James McCone was mightily used of God, and God led him to start 3,000 churches. And he also was born in the 12th of September, 1900, at the turn of the century. Also another book for those that's real enthusiasts of Pentecost is this book here. All things are possible. This is the whole history of the revival that God sent at the turn of the century. And we know that around 1940, the two men, 1946 onwards, that led the revival in America was William Morion Branham and Oral Roberts. Oral Roberts and William Branham were the two major men God used in the 1946. But Seymour's before that. Seymour's the turn of the century, 1900. And this man, James McCone, and I'm surprised when I talk to people, I had never heard of him till recently. But my good friend, Keith Moccasin, gave me this little book about James McCone. And it's a wonderful little book of a man of God, used mighty of God. And here's the thing, you know, very interesting. The Jeffrey brothers, they were other men as well at the turn of the century that God used here and in Wales, Stephen Jeffries, George Jeffries, they prayed and preached in James McCone's father's house. So I tell you, friends, through the dark ages, the miraculous power of God was lost. And if you were going by a lot of church theologians today, they still don't want the power of God. But I make no apologies. I am Pentecostal by experience. I love the power of Pentecost, the anointing, power of God. And I love the book of Acts and the Bible. And I believe in salvation, healing, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I call it, as the Jeffrey brothers called it, the full gospel. And even the full gospel businessmen used to have wonderful meetings as well. That's why they were called the full gospel. Brothers, we need the full gospel, not just a wee bit, but the full gospel. Here in Acts 2, verse 22, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles, signs, which God did by him in the midst of you all, as yourselves also know. Without the miraculous validation of the good news of the gospel, Christianity cannot be proven to be anything more than another religion. It takes the power of God to come in the Word of God and make the Word of God not just a dead letter, but something that has vitality to it, that it is living and it is real. And God confirms His Word with signs and with wonders and with miracles. It is God attesting to His Word. And the early church had the signs and the wonders and the miracles. And at the turn of the 20th century, God in His grace again visited His people. And basically in Azusa Street, they had it spread all over the world. And there was a Presbyterian minister that had been to America and got in connection with those from the Azusa Street. And the power of God came on him. And he came back to Scotland and he preached, and James McCone's father went to hear him. His mother didn't want him going, and he came back speaking in tongues and filled with the Holy Ghost. And James McCone's father was a tremendous preacher himself. But when the Holy Spirit gets into a family and gets into a home, it does something. And oh, I would to God this evening that the Holy Spirit would get into all of our homes. And I'll tell you, there's lots of things can get into our homes that we don't really want in our homes, and we open the door for it. But may we open the door in our homes for the move of the power of the Holy Ghost on our wives and families and upon our children. May the power of God touch them and reach them. And may we pray for those that's in the pulpit that they'll not just be puff cake preachers, as one old preacher said, but that they be men on fire with the power of God, with the Holy Spirit on them, led by the Holy Ghost and filled with the Holy Ghost. Everywhere that Jesus Christ preached and taught, many believed in His name when they saw the miracles which He did. And though I've mentioned to you these wonderful men that God's used, I'm not here tonight to preach about Seymour or James McKeown or William Branham or any of those. I appreciate Jack Coat, T.L. Osborne. I know them all, brothers. I've read about them. But I'm not here to preach about them. I'm here to you tonight to preach about a man called Jesus. The unique man. The different man. One of a kind. Hallelujah. The Son, only begotten Son of God. The unique one. One of a kind. Who came into this world to seek and to save that which is lost. I'm here to tell you this evening that he's still the same. I'm here to tell you this evening that he saves and he heals and he delivers. That he sets the captives free. I'm here to tell you tonight that he still does it. And his power is available. Where men and women will put their faith and trust in God. God will not and cannot fail. Praise his name. I want you to look with me this evening for a few moments at some of the things which our wonderful Savior did. In John 2:23, now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, in the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. Jesus performed so many miracles. Never forget that. Remember this evening, brothers and sisters, that 85%, I'm going to say it again, 85% of the ministry of Jesus was based on miracles and the supernatural. Yet today in our pulpits, we have practically no percent of the supernatural ministry. It's all theological teaching and programs. Let us get back to the power of God, to the moving of the Spirit of God. Now, at this time, more than ever, we need to be praying for God to move. We're coming, as it were, out of a lockdown time, and we don't need to be getting cold and formal. We need to keep on fire for God, filled with the Spirit of God, with our lamps trimmed and burning, going forth as shining lights for Jesus Christ our Lord. In Acts 10, verse 38, this is wonderful. And God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. Can I say this evening, a preacher's preaching is dead. There's no life in it until he receives the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It takes the Holy Spirit to give the punch to the power of the gospel. He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Don't worry who's with you. As long as the Lord is with you, if the Lord's with you, then I tell you, brother, I tell you, sister, you're going to be all right when the Lord's with you. Look at Mark saying, after Jesus Christ was taken up into heaven, following his resurrection, look what Mark said in verse 16, chapter 16, verse 20 of Mark. And they went forth and preached everywhere. No such thing has been out of the will of God. They preached everywhere. The Lord working with them. And confirming the word with signs following. We need God to confirm his word with signs following. Look what the writer of the Hebrews says here in Hebrews 2, verse 3 to 4. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3 to 4. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. I tell you, brothers and sisters, let us be endeavoring to know and have the power of God on our lives. We need to be seeking God. We need to be praying to be filled with the Holy Ghost, filled with the Spirit of God, moved with the Spirit of God. The Bible is clear. The sons of God are led by the Holy Spirit. Paul the Apostle also says that God wrought special miracles through his own ministry. Praise God. Special miracles were wrought through the ministry of Paul the Apostle. Romans 15, verse 18 and 19. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ have not wrought by me, to make the Gentiles obedient by word or deed, through mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about all Acre, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. God confirmed the preaching of Paul by the power of God, by the power of the Spirit of God. Paul said, I never came with excellency of speech, with enticing words of man's wisdom, but Paul came in the power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Paul was not afraid to demonstrate the power of God, because he knew God was with him. First century Christians fully expected that when they witnessed of Christ's resurrection and proclaimed his gospel, they fully expected God would perform signs and miracles by the power of the Holy Spirit to confirm their messages. They fully believed it. And we today need to get back to that expectation. We today, we're believing, many of us believe, we've had our hearts turned. We believe, we've had our hearts turned, that the Spirit of God's turned our hearts back to the original apostolic message. We believe that. Now, if we really believe it, let's expect it. Let's practice it. Let's expect it. Let's begin to pray for the sick. Let's begin to demonstrate the gospel in a way that maybe we've never experienced or expected before. Let's start to do what they did here in the book of Acts, so that it's just not all talk, but that we'll start to pray for people, that prophecies, tongues, and signs and wonders, diverse gifts of the Holy Spirit will begin to manifest in our midst. Let's begin to believe God for it. When you come into a situation, whether it's in your home, out in your car, why don't you, as an individual, pray and believe God to act on your behalf? The Lord has promised to be with you, and he's promised to answer your prayer and never to leave you, praise God. But as the early church gained in political influence and popularity, and it did, they waned in spiritual power. And that's what happens when churches begin to gain in popularity and power, they wane away and spiritual power. Miracles were no longer considered vital to their ministry. And I hear so many people belittling the miracles, belittling the power of God. And they bluff it off that it's a secondary thing and they don't need it. But that's not the Bible. I'm sorry, that's not the Bible. If we preach the real Bible, we need to expect God to confirm that word to us as we preach it. The supernatural was so completely extinguished from public worship and Christian teaching that many historical churches today believe and teach that when the apostles died, the miracles ceased. That's what they preach. That's what they teach. Even when they write church history about the 1900 revival, they never mention the supernatural, because you only have to look at their background, what dead duck denomination, and I make no apologies for this. If they come out of a dead system, they will definitely have a dead message. Brothers and sisters, we don't want to be coming out of a system. We want to be coming from Jesus Christ, from the fresh fountain hewn out in the rock, Christ Jesus, where we can drink from that fresh living water. And the Bible speaks of the Holy Spirit being in you as living water. And we want the living water within us, bubbling up, bubbling out. And we don't want dead duck religion. We're eagles. Eagles, seek to rise. You've been set free from out of the dove to the heavenlies. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God tonight. It's hard to realize that supernatural signs and physical miracles were largely absent in Christianity for almost 15 centuries. Did you know that? For almost 15 centuries, it was almost gone. But the 20th century rediscovery or the move of God, then the power of God began to work again, and the miracles come back again. It was not until around the turn of the 20th century that a new awakening concerning the miracle working power of the Holy Spirit was experienced among Christians in various parts of the world. Now there's so much of it you could deal with, and so much of it you could go in with. There's so many books. There's Joseph Street Revival. This here book here, this is a tremendous book here. If you can get it, you mightn't be able to buy it anywhere new anymore, but if you go on eBay, you'll find a copy of this on eBay. Buy it and read it. It'll help you. It'll stir you up. You'll read it about the move of God, the power of God, and the things that God did and still can do today. In the testimony of the gospel, which Christ told his followers to proclaim to the world, I want us to look at, you know, a compendium, as it were, of Bible quotations for encouragement of, you know, preachers and teachers, all that's listening in to me tonight. I want to give you a brief compendium, if you like, of the statements that was made of the power of God that we are to believe and expect tonight. I won't be but 10 more minutes. Follow with me. Acts 1, verse 1 to 2. Follow these words closely as I read you several different scriptures this evening. I just am on here to encourage you, spite of your preacher, to believe God, to expect, to pray God to fill you and thrill you and give you the power of God in your life and in your ministry. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus both began to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. So Jesus Christ, through the Holy Ghost, gave commandments. I tell you, the Bible tells us in the book of Acts, all that Jesus began, these disciples were to continue. And a disciple is a follower of Jesus Christ. Are you a follower of Jesus Christ? You must continue the work. You must believe. Witness your faith. Testify. If your neighbor's sick, don't be afraid to offer prayer. Don't be afraid to say, can I pray for you? I believe God can touch you. Don't be afraid. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Believe God. This is still God's will today. It is still God's will. What he did in the book of Acts, it is still God's will. Because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. 2 Corinthians 1. Verse 20, for all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. Acts 2:39, for the promises unto you, unto your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. The Holy Spirit was not just for the disciples. The Holy Spirit is for you. The Holy Spirit is for me. Even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And you know, no man can come to me except my Father draweth him. No man can know him, save to him whom the Son will reveal him. Praise God. 1 Timothy 1, verse 11 and verse 15. 1 Timothy 1, verse 11 and verse 15. And God bless all you that's tuned in. According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all expectation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Paul the apostle wasn't with the 12, but yet God chose Paul. And not only did God choose Paul, God filled Paul with the Holy Ghost and sent him forth with a miraculous ministry and a miraculous message. That's the ministry of Jesus Christ. It's never changed. His ministry's never changed. His power's never changed. His presence has never changed. Jesus remains the same throughout. Praise God. Colossians 1, verse 20 to 23. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him, to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether there be things in heaven or things in earth, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now have he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight. and ye continue in faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, which we have preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am a minister. I tell you, Paul preached the gospel also in 1 Corinthians 1, 17 and 18, and I'm almost finished. For Christ sent me not to baptize, not to baptize. Now I believe in water baptism, Acts 2:38. Repent ye therefore, every one of you, and be baptized. Doesn't say three titles. It says in the name of Jesus Christ, and ye shall, hallelujah, receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, which we know is eternal life. Praise God. I believe in it. But Paul says he sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, notwithstanding of the words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Paul preached, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us that are saved, it is the power of God. My friend, when you preach the cross, God can change a homosexual, a drunkard. Don't ever think that anyone is too far from the reach of God. People condemn certain sins. You cannot point your finger at any certain sin, because the Bible says all have sinned and all have fallen short of the glory of God. Jesus Christ can forgive all manner of sin. Hallelujah. The blood of Jesus cleanses from all sin. Any man, any woman, any boy, any girl that will come and put their trust simply in the finished work of Jesus Christ and accept him as their Lord and Savior can and will be saved. The blood of Jesus cleanses from all sin. Hebrews 1, verse 1 to 2. God, who at some dry times in divers manner spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. Sundry times means at a specific appointed time God spake. At a specific appointed time God spake through these prophets. But look at verse 2. Hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he have appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the words. Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Matthew 28:20. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I command you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. My friend, this evening, Jesus Christ is the same. He's never changed. He's the same. John 14:12-13 says this. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works, now the original means more, than these shall ye do, because I go unto my Father, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Now, as I come to close, I have a little word for someone on here tonight. The Holy Spirit's prompted me just now, just this moment. Hear me this evening, I'm very serious. I don't know what you're facing, what you're going through, but here's what the Holy Spirit's prompted me to tell you right now. 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith and not by sight. I'm going to say it again. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Dear sister, you're walking by faith. You're not walking by sight. Don't worry what it looks like. Don't worry what seems to be happening right now at this moment. You believe God. Put your trust in the Lord. Believe him for your situation. Believe him for whatever you're going through right now. And I believe God will do it. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. My father gave me this verse many, many years ago. I'll tell you, there's a brother on here this evening, Brother George Jackson. God bless you, Brother George, just to share this testimony. I was going to Brother George's house I'm telling you, it's a long time ago. It's near 30 years ago. And my father gave me this scripture from Hebrews 11, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And God moved at that time on certain situations. God moved. And today I can look back and see the hand of God in so many things that God moved because of the word of the Lord. Let us bow our heads this evening. I really feel strong to say to the dear sister this evening, you're walking by faith, not by sight. I want you to go in absolute confidence. Have no fear. Have no fear. Go in faith. Go believe it. I want you to come to the place where you really know that Jesus is with you, that the Lord's near you, that he's actually holding your hand. He's near you tonight, so close. He's with you as you go. Whatever you're going to go through, the Lord's going to bring you out in the victory, in the triumph. And you're going to go be able to praise him and magnify his lovely name. Will you bow with me this evening? And let's pray for the Lord's blessing. And if you need prayer tonight, give me a sign, thumbs up or anything at all, and I'm going to pray for you right now as I come to the close of this broadcast here tonight. God bless you all this evening, those that will listen in. May the Lord bless you and strengthen you tonight. Let's believe God today for the supernatural, that he'll change and transform lives. Father, I thank you for your presence. Lord, there's no substitute for the Holy Spirit. There's no substitute for the anointing. For the anointing breaks the yokes, destroys it. Lord, I pray that the anointing will break every yoke over lives tonight of men and women that's tuned in. Pray for the dear sister right now as she walks by faith on that side. Father, that you'll be near her. You'll be with her in a very special way. May she know the Master's presence. May she know the touch of the man of Galilee. May she know the touch of the nail-piercing hand of Jesus the Nazarene. Oh, dear Master, this evening, how we love you, how we lift your name, how we praise your name, dear Jesus. Your name, Jesus, says ointment poured forth. The flowers grow, the desert blooms again, just at the mention of your name. We know that you're near. We know, Lord Jesus. Lord, we could never pray like that old brother Sodmore. But oh, how we would ask you that the Holy Spirit would begin to move in every one of us, that we would come more into the closet to seek after thee, to hunger and thirst. For then we know the authority of the word of God. They that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. Oh God, move every one of us this evening. Cause thy face to shine upon us, and we shall be saved. Father, bless we John Weir tonight. Will you anoint him with the Holy Spirit? Will you save sinners? Will you get thyself all the praise and all the glory? In Jesus Christ's name. Touch all that's tuned into this broadcast. I pray for all our nurses, all our doctors. Bless them. Be with them. Strengthen them. We love them. We appreciate them in the Lord. We pray for Israel also, thy chosen people. Oh, bless Israel, Lord. We know they're your time clock to their Gentile church. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, and catch thy winning bride away. Save our children. Cover them with your blood. Save the son. Save the daughter. Save the aunt, the uncle, the nephew, the niece, the grandson, the granddaughter. We plead the power of the blood of Jesus Christ over them. And we plead it over lives afresh. Keep us everyone safe from all the wiles of the enemy. me. Listen, this evening, just a couple of songs before I go, and I appreciate Brother Gary and his precious wife, Sister Ruth, that we can have these songs, that we can play them, and I want you to be encouraged. These are two of my favorite songs. He's changing me. He can change anyone. Jesus can change anyone. Only believe him. Only trust him. His power is available. Hallelujah. Wonderful Jesus. Wonderful Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.